Welcome into the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah, along with Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. We are back for another episode. The UFC was off last week, and so were we. But now we have a very mediocre card.
They might
preview.
As well be off this week, too.
Yeah, they might as well be off this week. But we're going to talk about some other fights. A bunch of very good fights were announced for upcoming pay-per-views. So we're going to talk about that as well. But we have UFC Fight Night, Lewis versus Spivak. Can't wait for this one at 3 a.m. And it's at 3 a.m. for a reason, Jordan. And why don't you enlighten us as to why this card is in Vegas, but still not starting with the prelims until 9 p.m.
Yeah, I mean, if you were looking at the matchups, most of the fighters are of Korean or of Asian descent, and this fight card originally was set to take place in South Korea because, A, it was going to be headlined by the Korean zombie Chan Sung Jung, and then it was also going to showcase several fighters that are on the current reality show, Road to Victory, reality show, kind of like the UFC fighter, but for the Southeastern and Asian audience out there. But Chan Sung Jung got hurt, so they shifted this fight card to Vegas, so it's going to take place in the Apex, yet it's still going to take place at the late night time to appease, you know, what will be the Asian crowd tuning in during prime time. So it'll be a 10 p.m. Eastern start for the prelims.
Yeah.
You think about that. Typically, that's the start for the main card. So yeah. 10 p.m. Eastern start for the prelims, and then a 1 a.m. start. Oof. For the five-fight main card. I know you will be up sporadically.
Yeah, I'll be up.
Thanks to being the new dad.
I got a 1 o'clock.
Good for you.
I got a 1 o'clock feeding. I got like a 4:30 in the morning feeding.
So you're
so
probably going
like
to get
three
a little,
hours at a time now, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to get Ty Burra even off. Maybe
yeah.
A little Korean Superboy.
I'll turn it on.
I will probably be sleeping.
That's fine. I can wake you up. You want me to call you?
Yeah, sure. I shut off my phone.
I'll text you. I'll text you.
Text me.
I'll be like, whoa!
Oh, my God!
I get
KO!
Whoa!
and then I'll just check the FanDuel account and be like, good
Absolutely,
or bad. I won't
yeah.
care about who got knocked out or how it looked.
Is my
FanDuel account.
Make your bets.
Plus money, and
yeah.
then go to bed.
Make your bets, go to bed, hopefully wake up with more money than you started with. Before this starts. So let's get started here with this main card here. Duho Choi versus Kyle Nelson. The Korean Superboy, like you mentioned his nickname earlier, is 31 years old. He hasn't made an appearance in 3 years, but even despite that, he is -205 to Kyle Nelson's +160 as the underdog here. Kyle Nelson went 12-1 on the regional circuit, and then he's gone 1-4 since coming to the UFC. So this is a guy who in the Korean Superboy, the other fighter, Duho Choi, who likes to start quickly and has big knockout power. And Kyle Nelson does not like to do things like that. He likes to slow it down and kind of take this fight to the distance. So difference of styles here for this first fight here on our main card with Duho Choi and Kyle Nelson.
Yeah, Duho Choi came into the UFC with a lot of notoriety. He's got knockout power. And look, he debuted as a young fighter that was going to, you know, a lot of people believe have a significant impact in the featherweight division. He has lost 3 fights in a row. You just alluded to it. It'll be a 3-year layoff for him. But I want people to pay attention to this. This has not to do with injuries or fights getting canceled. This had to do with military obligation that Duho Choi had being a South Korean. We've seen this happen before. Chan Sung Jung took a 2.5-year layoff for military obligations that he had to serve. So it's not like Duho Choi was sitting on the couch getting fat or not fighting because of injury. This guy was remaining active, and quite frankly, we have seen South Korean fighters that have taken this long layoff due to military obligation look fantastic in their return to the octagon. And this is a very favorable matchup. I think this is kind of a layup for Duho Choi stylistically. He has still knockout power, even though he's, you know, now longer in the tooth at 31 years of age. He's extremely athletic, difficult to take down, and that's what Kyle Nelson's strategy is going to be. And Kyle Nelson's a guy that's lost 4 or 5. You talked about him. For lack of a better description, fights dumb. Like, fights dumb. This doesn't have a great strategy, you know, going into fights. And I think that this is a extremely favorable matchup, which is why the line reflects it. I was talking about and released this fight to people that subscribe to the Fat Jack Sports subscription at $1.80, $1.85 to Do Ho Choi. He's ballooned up to $2.15 at FanDuel. I still think that that's the play because I think he's going to be too athletic, too powerful, and a difficult matchup for Kyle Nelson. I think a lot of people also got to understand that a lot of these matchups were to feature or help spotlight the South Korean fighter. So I think that a lot of times the matchmaking does this when it was going to be catering to a local crowd. Obviously, they were supposed to be in South Korea, in South Korea. So I believe a lot of these Korean fighters are going to be handed layups so they could look good. And I certainly believe that the money lines reflect a lot of them.
Yeah, so if you're looking here for method of victory, too, like you mentioned, Choi is the heavy favorite here, minus 205. By knockout is plus 125. Choi by points is plus 380. Kyle Nelson by knockout is plus 420. Nelson by points is 5-1 at plus 500. If you're looking for round props, under 2.5 is minus 182. The over 2.5 is plus 142. And will this fight go the distance? No, is minus 260. So if you believe that Choi is going to win this fight, if you believe that it's not going to go the distance, I'm looking at value play here. Do Ho Choi by knockout, plus 125.
That has to be the play. That has to be the play if you like Do Ho Choi and you want to find significant value on it because the guy is a finisher. 14 of his wins, 11 of them have come by knockout. He also has one submission to his record. You know, Kyle Nelson is a tough out. He is a grinder. He's a guy that's, you know, at times difficult to finish. But I think that Do Ho Choi has the necessary tools to get that done. If you want to be on the other side of things, well, then you're banking on the fact that Do Ho Choi has lost his last two fights via knockout, but I believe it's been against harder hitters, better strikers, and Jeremy Stephens and Charles Jourdain than that is Kyle Nelson. So for me, yeah, Do Ho Choi, if you don't want to lay down the 215, 210, put him in a parlay, or as you just said, get him via knockout because that's how he'll win the fight.
All right, I'm putting him in our parlay if we make a parlay. So he's been stuffed into a parlay for now. We'll see if we continue that parlay. But the official podcast pick is Choi by knockout. If you want the full picks from Jordan, make sure you subscribe to Fat Jack Sports at fatjacksports.com. Our next fight, some big boys, Marcin Tybura against Blago Ivanov. This is a heavyweight fight. Tybura enters on the best run of his UFC career so far. He beat the undefeated Alexander Romanov, he beat King Kong, right? Like, when you beat King Kong, like, that's pretty good. So he's 6-1 over his last seven. Ivanov is 36 years old, and he's coming off a win as well. He's 19-4 in his last 23 fights, going the distance in all six of his UFC assignments there so far. So, to me, this is Tybura's minus 146, 145, right around there, and Ivanov is plus 114. A little bit closer than our first fight, but this should be some big boys and should be a good one.
Yeah, middling heavyweights, if you will.
I said they're big boys. I do too.
And they're on the cusp of the top 15. I mean, these are guys that have been in the UFC for quite some time. Tybura, yeah, is on the best run of his UFC career. 6-1 over his last seven. That includes a victory over one of the guys that's going to be featured in the main event in Sergey Spivak. He's going to have the advantage in speed. He's going to have the advantage in power. He's going to have the advantage in reach. And I think, you know, also likely stiffer and better competition. Ivanov is a guy that's a sambo fighter, so combination of striking, wrestling, can take you to the ground, but really wants to work this fight, dirty it up, dirty boxing, up against the cage, up against the clinch. And, this is probably the MMA gods not smiling down at you if this is the fight that you end up having to watch and sit through live while you're up for the beating.
Yeah.
Because this is a fight that is favoring the over and it's heavyweights.
Ugh.
Favoring the over and it's heavyweights. Ivanov, seven decisions in a row. He's certainly going to be the better wrestler. He's also, you know, built like a bowling ball and has a bowling ball for a head. So Tybura is going to really struggle to get a knockout on the feet. I think he's going to have to get this fight to the ground and maybe get a TKO ground and pound finish.
Let me deduce something here. If you have a bowling ball for a head, chances are it's minimal neck.
Minimal neck care.
Submissions are probably out of the question. You're saying these are going to be two dudes trying to lay on each other for 15 minutes, right? Yeah,
exactly. It's going to be a dirty fight, an ugly fight.
Yeah.
And I both guys certainly do have power. I think Ty Burra probably the more susceptible to the knockout. But, you know, I think it's just going to be an ugly three-round fight, unanimous decision, 2-1. So, for me, it's kind of a toss-up. I'm going to go even off just based on his the grappling, how he can dirty it up. He's harder to finish. I think he's always been used to being in there with bigger fighters, and Ty Burra will be the bigger fighter, and he's plus money. But I think some of the times, too, with these pick-ems, in my opinion, I would have gone the opposite way, that Ty Burra, if he was the underdog, you know, put some shekels on Ty Burra. But for me, it's even off. The over at 2.5 certainly is it, but I think there's too much juice
on that. It's 235, so we can put that into the parlay.
I don't want to.
Okay.
I don't want to because, again, we are talking about heavyweights.
Well, yeah, I mean, because, look, if you look at the method of victory, Ty Burra by points is plus 180. Even off by points is plus 200. Then everything else kind of, you know, is big, where you get Ty Burra by knockout at plus 420. Even off by knockout is 6-1, and then submissions are 11-1 and 13-1. So that's probably not going to happen. But Vegas believes this will go the distance. This will go to the judges' scorecard, as evident by that over there, too. Over 2.5 in a 3-round fight, minus 235. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. I don't want to look at the round total in this because of the risk with heavyweights. With these guys, do have, you know, obviously they're throwing at 265 pounds, so they have the ability to knock each other out. But I think there's going to be other fights that we talk to or get to where I'll look at the round totals, and if you don't want to play it that straight up, then that's the round total we'll put into the parlay.
All right, so we will mark that down as even off money line. It's plus money, so it's plus 115. Mm-hmm. It looks it. If I'm getting plus money, I'm staying up. If I got to wake up and feed, you know, the tiny baby, I'm going to stay up and watch if I got plus money on a fight.
That's like, just how I'm handicapping fights, thinking about you and your feedings.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Our co-main event, Darwin Jung against Devin Clark. Jung is a minus 265 favorite against Devin Clark. These are two light heavyweights, and Jung enters the octagon coming off a loss after going 4-0-1 in his first five appearances. He got into a great fight with Dustin Jacoby.
Our boy, Dustin Jacoby.
Dustin Jacoby. It was halted a little over 3 minutes into that opening round, so it was good for Dustin Jacoby, for our guy, but not good for Jung. And then Clark, his last time out, also stopped after losing to the unbeaten Azamat Mirzakhanov. Yeah, I said that right, Mirzakhanov. First time trying that. So this should be the odds don't say it's going to be a decent fight, but Jung has been finished before, and Clark has been finished as well.
I think you have to question the chin now of Jung. Like, he got stopped by Dustin Jacoby, and Dustin Jacoby's a great striker. And I think it was a little bit of karma that he came on the podcast the week of, and he got the finish. As the underdog, but so we'll see what happens if Jung can respond after finally being tested, his chin being tested. The thing about it is that Devin Clark does not possess the striking acumen or power that a Dustin Jacoby has. Devin Clark, at his heart, is a wrestler, and he's going to look to grind this fight, get this fight to the ground, and I think Jung just provides a lot of difficulty in doing that. Very good takedown defense to start, younger fighter, more athletic fighter. He's got more powerful strikes than Devin Clark is certainly used to. And Devin Clark kind of, you know, just is a middling light heavyweight, you know, up and down. He went up to heavyweight down, and I just think that he's pretty much an average fighter that relies on his relentlessness and his wrestling and his grappling. And obviously, we've seen time and time again that be extremely successful for a lot of fighters. I just don't think that that's going to be the case. This is another example, I think, of a South Korean fighter getting a showcase fight, a bounce-back fight, because Jung's coming off that loss, his first loss in the UFC. So Jung, for me, just straight up on the money line, is fine at 215, 250, you know, 230, if you want to put him into the parlay. But really,
it's in there.
Yeah. The other thing you have to look at, too, is the over. So three of the six fights Jung has had have gone over 1.5. Clark, only one time he's not gone over 1.5 in his fights. So I think this is another kind of grueling, grinding fight. But Jung's going to have the advantage on the feet. That's where he's going to win it. So I like Jung straight up on the money line, and Jung and Clark over 1.5.
All right. Our method of victory, Jung by knockout is plus 120. Jung by points is plus 350. Clark by points is 5-1. Clark by knockout, 5.5-1. So Vegas thinking that this will either go the distance or Jung will knock out Clark.
I think Clark is going to probably avoid a lot of areas in the fight where he would be susceptible to knockout. Mm-hmm. He's going to dirty this fight up, try and get this fight to the ground. Jung's going to utilize his takedown defense, which I believe is strong, and his reach and outpoint him. So if you need me to put a handicap on a method of victory because I'm leaning towards that over on 1.5, then it's Jung via decision at that plus 350 mark, yeah, which is a nice little play if you want to go that direction.
All right, that is our co-main event. Our main event, Derek Lewis against Sergey Spivak. Spivak minus 250, Derek Lewis plus 190. This was supposed to be a fight that was 12 weeks ago, but right now Lewis is on a two-fight losing streak. But I will tell you this. How about this? He's a perfect 8-0 when competing in Las Vegas. How about that? Does that factor in at all?
Jordan? It should.
It should?
It
okay.
should. He's also right. never lost three fights in a row.
All right. Spivak makes his sixth consecutive start in Las Vegas, where he now lives. He's trying to extend his record to 6-1 over his last seven. So these are two heavyweight fighters who are trying to get into that title contention. We've got the Black Beast and Derek Lewis. We've got Sergey Spivak. One guy is undefeated in Vegas. He's also plus 190. Which way are you going?
It just depends on if I believe that Derek Lewis, the rails are finally off. You know, he's 37 years of age. He's been doing it at the top echelon of the heavyweight division. Unbelievable knockout power that he could land at any moment. And we've handicapped fights about his before, and I've always alluded to the Alexander Volkov fight where he was losing that three-round fight for 14 minutes and 10 seconds, or 14 minutes and 50 seconds, and then with 10 seconds remaining, he landed a bomb and knocked out Alexander Volkov. That's what the Black Beast, you know, brings to the table. There are some questions about his mental and physical health coming into this fight. He has said in pre-fight interviews he has been dealing with a lot of anxiety. He had a bout with COVID that he had to deal with. Pictures of him and the scale on Friday afternoon, lighter than typically than he looks. And he's still a large, large man, and he's got unbelievable power. But for me, Spivak has been good of late, even though it hasn't been as against as good of competition. He's very well-rounded, has very strong takedowns. He actually has the third most takedowns in the heavyweight division, 63% takedown accuracy. He's got very strong control time. For me, I think you have to play Spivak and inside the distance. I think Spivak avoids those first 2 to 3 minutes of trouble with Derek Lewis. And then when Derek Lewis, you know, can't get that knockout early, he just has to go balls to the wall and try and get a knockout. Spivak elusive enough, gets a takedown, and gets a finish at some point, round one, round two.
So parlay with Spivak, put that in there at minus 250.
I mean, I love playing Derek Lewis. I mean, Derek Lewis fights are great. And look, yeah, we saw it a few fights ago when Curtis Blaydes dominated him.
The distance is minus 900.
Yeah. I mean, the fight is not going to the judges' scorecards.
Okay.
And if it does, Derek Lewis is not winning the fight on the judges' scorecards.
I mean, under 1.5, this is a under 1.5 is minus 120. So, I mean, they think it's going to end pretty soon, too. So if you think that and you look at the odds, I mean, Spivak's got to be the play, right, into the parlay?
Yeah, it does, because I think he's going to avoid the power of Derek Lewis and look to get the takedown. And, you know, Derek Lewis has good takedown defense. It's not great. We saw it actually showcased when he knocked out Curtis Blaydes in that second round. Blaydes went for a double and landed into an uppercut and just got completely knocked out. But I think, you know, Spivak has seen that. He's been in there with dangerous strikers. Greg Hardy was able to take him down, get him out of there. So I think Spivak's on the rise. Derek Lewis on the tail end of his career. Mm-hmm. So Spivak inside the distance for me at $1.65 is the play.
All right. So to recap our plays here, Duho Choi by knockout at plus 125, the even off money line at plus 115, Jung Clark over 1.5, and our parlay is going to be Duho Choi, Daun Jung, and Sergey Spivak at minus 250. That pays, that three leg parlay pays plus 186. So that's
not bad. Let's add just the featured prelim, Kunoshita over Fugit. He's a minus 280 favorite, the last I looked. Yusaku Kunoshita. This guy has a lot of notoriety. He's 22 years old. He's making his debut. Striker, very big left hand. A lot of hype on the Contender Series. And I think Fugit's going to be in a world of hurt for this one. This is another one of those layup fights, those squash matches, if you will. So let's put him into the parlay, see what
we do. Okay. All right. I'll see what that is here in 1 second, as soon as I can find that. So you're saying Kunoshita at him at minus 340. That takes us to plus 271.
I like it.
So let's Kunoshita, Spivak, Zhang, and Choi in our parlay. That is plus 271. So bet 100, win 271. Bet 10, win 27. Either way you want to play, that's the where you're going to get it on FanDuel Sportsbook. That is our UFC fight night, Lewis versus Spivak. Now, there are some really good fights coming up here that I just want to touch on real quick. A few were announced this week and a few obviously in the works. Next week, we have a great pay-per-view, Islam Makhachev against Alexander Volkanovski. That one is going to be a good fight. Just broad, what do you think of these fights that I'm going to go over here real quick in these next few pay-per-view events?
I mean, this fight is not getting the attention it deserves. I think there's more promotion for the Power Slap League going on
with the
UFC.
The thing is ridiculous.
I can't stand it.
The thing is ridiculous.
I can't stand it.
I'm not someone who's like, oh my God, you know, like, I know what you're getting into when you're trying to, you like, but like, you're just walking into a concussion. Like, you're just, like.
It was
like,
hilarious that whoever the president is, the Dana White of this, the league, was like, asked about that. And he was trying to, no pun intended, defend them being defenseless or not defenseless.
No, they are defenseless. Like, they're just standing
there.
They
were saying that, like, okay, and again, I haven't read into, like, the athletes that are doing this, if I'm going to call them athletes, but, like, the way that they position their jaw when they're about to get hit, is protecting them.
No, it's ridiculous.
I've seen these guys fall flat on their backs, convulse.
Oh, yeah. They get the full, like, when you see an NFL player get a concussion, you're like, that's, like, Tua, what he was, like, that happens more often than not.
Yeah, I mean, I just read a headline that the week 3 ratings plummeted. I'm like, oh, that's a shame.
Well, of course. I mean, yeah. That's a shame. Yeah, of course it is. So Islam Makhachev against Alexander Volkanovski.
So this fight's not getting the hype that it deserves. It could be two of the best pound-for-pound guys, like 1 and 2 in the lightweight and featherweight division. Whose wrestling is going to dictate what happens? Is Makhachev, like he does at 155, to everybody else, be able to take the fight to the ground, control, get a submission, get a TKO, ever-improving stand-up? Or is Alexander Volkanovski, a guy that's considered the best pound-for-pound fighter, a very difficult guy to take down at featherweight, who, you know, once competed at rugby and heavyweight, so he's got, you know, the body mass to make up for those extra 10 pounds potentially. Ever-improving striker, you know, dominated Max Holloway, who's considered one of the best fighters of all time, and Volkanovski's fighting in his backyard. A week out of the fight, or a little bit over a week out of the fight, I'll put a little down on Volkanovski as the underdog.
Wow, he's like 3-1.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, look, Makhachev's awesome. Like, yes. Makhachev is awesome.
Yeah.
But look with me, and I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. What wrestler has he fought? Armin Tsarukyan. That's it. And that was like 4 years ago. And what other wrestlers he fought? And
that's fair.
He beat Charles Oliveira. And I love Charles Oliveira. He's one of the greatest fighters of all time. And dominated him. But Alexander Volkanovski, also a different story.
That's fair. So that is next week, UFC 284. We go to UFC 285. Two title fights, John Jones against Cyril Gane, and then Valentina Shevchenko against Alexa Grasso. This should be another very good pay-per-view coming up that first weekend in March.
We made mention of this to all of our subscribers at Fat Jack Sports. I mentioned it to the Fat Jack. I mentioned it to you. When John Jones was released in this fight, the greatest fighter we've ever seen at heavyweight at plus money, I hammered him.
Yeah.
He's now not plus money.
Now he's minus 135.
Exactly. Yeah. So what's John Jones going to look like with the extra pounds? I don't know. But I think, like, the questions you then ask, like, you know, the bigger fighter. And Cyril Gane's, like, not the biggest heavyweight. Like, he's also kind of an elusive striker, has some good grappling and submissions. But, like, I'm not too worried about it. And I think John Jones is special, and we'll see with the time off, 3-year layoff. He's a little bit older, obviously, now, but I think that he took that time off to make sure that he could build up his body correctly with the additional weight. And at that price. You've never had John Jones anywhere close to that price.
Mm-hmm.
I'll still grab it at minus 110.
And then coming up for UFC 286, I can't wait for this fight. We talked to both of these guys before their fight last time, Leon Edwards, Kamaru Usman. This fight is going to be great. The trilogy fight. Usman won the belt last time. Like, this is going to be an awesome fight.
Is it going to be awesome?
Yeah, it's going to be an awesome fight. Promote it like it's going to be an awesome fight. We had them both on, didn't we? Yeah.
We did have them both on. I mean, Kamaru Usman was doing, like, what he did the first two fights.
I know.
Until a head kick in the fifth round. And it was one of the greatest,
But don't you think that, like, he's going to be, like, he's going to amp it up? He's, like, the movie star is going to take a back seat. This is like the Rocky that goes up into the woods, into the blizzard-like condition. And now he's moving. He's carrying trees.
Yeah, he's having revenge for Apollo's death.
Yeah.
He's going
like,
to
he's picking up trees and moving tires and stuff like that.
It's going to be cool. It's going to be cool that this fight is in London and that Leon Edwards gets the homecoming that he deserves and the fight in front of his home countrymen. But Kamaru Usman, to me, is still one of the greatest fighters we have. And I think he is and new UFC welterweight champion. What's he, 220, 225?
Yeah.
I'll play that for sure.
All right, and then we've got another one. April 8th, two very good fights. One of them just announced. Gilbert Burns was just announced against Jorge Masvidal. So this is going to be a great. I love watching Game Red fights, so the Jorge Masvidal is going to be fun to watch against Gilbert Burns. And then that title fight, Alex Pereira against Israel Adesanya, that's another great fight. To me, those next two pay-per-views are going to be great.
Yeah, it's exciting for sure. There's a lot to like about that Jones-Gon fight, not just the two title fights you mentioned. And then, to see Izzy, how he bounces back against Alex Pereira, I think that Izzy's going to reclaim him. He was winning that fight and was, minutes away from being the middleweight champion again. And I think he'll have the advantage. Of course, Pereira's got that nuke of a left hand that he could land at any time. That's super, super exciting. And you're right. Anytime Game Bred fights, the lead up to the fight is awesome.
Yeah.
Will the fight be good? I mean, I don't know. There's built up animosity between these two guys.
The hype is fine, though.
The
hype is great.
It'll be exciting, but there's too many variables right now for me to invest in Gilbert Burns. He's such a huge favorite.
Yeah.
And you can't trust Masvidal. So for me, that'll just a sit back and watch.
And then I'm looking at all these pay-per-views and all these fight nights. Am I missing something? I'm not seeing Bilal Muhammad's name on any of these fights. We're all the way through April. I'm not seeing Bilal Muhammad on any of these fights. What the hell, man? Give Bilal a fight. Why won't anybody fight Bilal Muhammad?
I don't, because he's such a hard matchup. You don't want to fight him. You don't want to fight him.
Stop ducking Bilal. I want to see Colby Covington get his ass knocked out.
I would love that fight.
Or whatever, to see against Bilal Muhammad. I would love that.
Yeah.
But someone needs to fight Bilal Muhammad.
Yeah,
And it's not just because he's a friend of the show. We want to see the man fight.
He deserves to fight for the title.
Yes,
he
does.
He doesn't even deserve Covington. Like, he deserves to fight for the championship.
This is not pandering. Kind of. But we want to see Bilal fight for a title in 2023, and I hope he gets that opportunity at some point this year. He's got to fight this year. He can't take... I mean, he's got the first quarter of the year off already. Like, come on, give the man a fight.
Yeah, he needs... He was fantastic in his last fight. He needs a big, high-profile fight. I just don't think he's going to get it for a while because there's got to be a lot of clarity at welterweight before he gets another
Colby's
shot.
Just sitting around doing nothing.
I know.
Give him a fight. Give him something to knock out. Come on.
I wish.
All right. Well, that's all we've got for you this episode. Again, next week, we will be back to break down UFC 284 against Islam Makhachev, Alexander Volkanovski. That's going to be a great one. So we'll have much more breakdown for that for you next week. Follow Jordan Sherwood on Twitter, @WoodOnESPN1000. If you're up watching those fights, I might be tweeting about them while I'm feeding my baby. You can tweet Jordan on Twitter if you want to. Also, get his full picks from Fat Jack Sports, fatjacksports.com. Now's the time. I'm telling you, Jack has been on freaking fire during the NFL playoffs, during the NFL season. The Super Bowl's coming up.
College basketball's been on fire, too.
College basketball's been on fire. He's going to have props for the Super Bowl. Make sure you sign up because, trust me, it is well worth it. The dude is firing on all cylinders right now. And then you can follow me on Twitter @AdamAbdallah if you want to. If not, that's cool, too. But because the real analysis comes from Jordan, and then you can get the picks from FatJackSports.com. So we will be back next week for another episode of the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Thanks for listening.